producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It's the Alex Jones Show live on this Tuesday, October 7th edition. I'm Paul Joseph Watson once again, filling in for Alex. We've got another jam-packed show coming up. David Knight in studio, as well as Anthony Gucciardi. Next hour, we've got Robert David Steele, who, of course, is a former CIA officer. Wrote a book, which I read recently, The Open Source Manifesto. He's going to talk about a prediction he made last month, in which he said that Ebola would be used in the United States as a false flag event. We're going to dig down into that. Also going to get into some solutions about how Steele lays out the hierarchical control, the top-down system, how that can be reversed, how we can turn it into a grassroots populist uprising, which is, of course, what the elite are concerned about, given the CFR's recent proclamation about the American distemper, which is the fact that this uprising, this populist revolution, is on the horizon. Steele has made similar comments to that effect. So we're going to get into that and more in the next hour. Obviously, first hour, we're focusing on the latest Ebola news because it gets even more ridiculous. We have an article here out of the Daily Mail. President Obama has basically outlined his mission to defeat Ebola. Obama's new airport screening plan uses customs agents to spot Ebola as president concedes. We don't have a lot of margin for error. So basically the same people that rifle through your bags at the airport are going to be checking people for Ebola. And if you have confidence in customs agents to do that, then you probably missed the next article, which went up on Infowars.com yesterday. I'm going to play this clip after the break. CNN reporter returning from Liberia, horrified by lack of airport Ebola screening. So this CNN reporter and several of her colleagues basically traveled through Atlanta Airport and were, quote, shocked by the complete lack of screening for Ebola. They outright told the airport officials, the customs officials, that they had just traveled back from West Africa, that they could potentially have been exposed to Ebola. Basically, they weren't even asked any questions. They were allowed to go on their way. No checks were taken. So if that is the character of the provisions that the Obama administration is now taking in the fight against Ebola, as now the WHO in Europe warns that it's basically inevitable that Europe will see an Ebola outbreak after a case in Spain yesterday. We've now got articles suggesting there could be potentially 56 other people exposed to the Ebola virus at this hospital in Spain. There you see 56 being monitored in Spain after Ebola infects nurse. So the WHO is really taking this seriously in Europe, saying this could lead to an outbreak, whereas in the United States, there's no talk whatsoever of banning flights. US not considering a travel ban amid Ebola outbreak, says the White House. And again, they've stuck to that line for, you know, over a week now, basically. But if you thought that was crazy, then take a look at this out of the Daily Mail. Dallas Ebola victim's stepdaughter, who took him to hospital as he was vomiting wildly, is given all clear to return to work as a nursing assistant. So this is the stepdaughter of patient zero, Thomas Eric Duncan, who, of course, was taken ill in Dallas last week with Ebola after they sent him home for a period of days, having failed to detect the virus, even though Duncan told them he had traveled back from Liberia. Now they're sending his stepdaughter, who was in the apartment with him, with the vomit-stained blankets and towels. She was in the ambulance with him as he traveled to the hospital. And again, it can take up to 21 days for people to show symptoms of Ebola. And yet the CDC has given the all clear to send this individual back to work as a nursing assistant. absolutely unbelievable. And that's just the tip of the spear. We're going to get more into Ebola. We're going to cover some police state news later as well. Robert David Steele coming up. David Knight in studio. Jam-packed show. It's the Alex Jones Show live. Infowars.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I've always believed in nutrition and herbs. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Sourced from powerful organic herbs, harvested around the planet, and then concentrated for maximum potency.
I just received my Male Vitality about 3 days ago, and I must say, that is some good stuff.
After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic Super Male Vitality formula. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose.
I jump out of bed ready to fight these criminals every day. I look forward to waking up and taking my Super Male Vitality and get the day started.
It's not just the Super Male Vitality. All the products at InfoWarsLife.com are simply amazing. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality and other powerful products from InfoWars Life.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
At the top of the season, when love runs high.
We're back live on the Alex Jones Show. Paul Joseph Watson filling in for Alex. Now we're going to go to a CNN clip. Let's just preface this with a quote from Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary, on the subject of Ebola. He said, quote, "There is a very sophisticated, multi-layered screening system in place to ensure that the traveling public is safe." That's the White House press secretary, Josh Earnest, a couple of days ago, talking about the preparations that they're making for Ebola. Of course, they've refused to shut down any flights coming in from West Africa. Now we're going to have customs agents, the same people that rifle through your bags, supposedly screening for Ebola in airports, even though technically that can be sidestepped. You can take ibuprofen and not register as having a high fever. So it is indeed completely useless. Obama's new airport screening plan uses customs agents to spot Ebola. So Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary, ensures us that the traveling public is safe because now they've got these measures in place to catch Ebola at the border before it arrives in the United States at the airports. which is not the experience of CNN reporters who traveled through Atlanta Airport last week. Let's go ahead and roll that clip.
I expected that they were going to take my temperature. They were going to ask me lots of questions, but they didn't. I said, I'm a journalist. I've come back from Liberia. I was covering Ebola. And the gentleman who was helping me, the officer, he started to hand my passport back and say, welcome home. But instead he said, oh, wait a second. I got an email about passengers like you. Hold on a second. And he went and conferred with someone, and he didn't know, and they conferred with someone else. And in the end, he said, you need to watch yourself for signs of Ebola. And I said, well, what am I watching for? And he couldn't tell me. Now, as if that weren't bad enough, Robin, I was traveling with two colleagues, a photojournalist and a producer, and they weren't told anything. And they also said that they were journalists who've been covering Ebola. So we were all kind of shocked and pretty horrified at the lack of screening in U.S. airports. But, you know, as we've been talking about, that may be changing. They may be doing more to screen passengers who are coming in from West Africa.
So, again, that's a CNN reporter and a couple of her colleagues basically saying that she went through the airport in Atlanta. They barely even asked her any questions. They said, oh, yeah, we got an email about it. We might want to ask you about that. But, you know, nothing happened. And, again, we go back to the fact that people can take painkillers, ibuprofen, to fool these temperature detectors anyway. So the threat of Ebola tourism, as was rumored in the case of Patient Zero, very much remains in place. So the White House, again, has refused to shut down any air travel, any air flights coming in from West Africa. And now the CDC has gone one step further in its complete insanity in its response to this Ebola crisis. With this story out of the Daily Mail, Dallas Ebola victim's stepdaughter, who took him to hospital as he was vomiting wildly, is given all clear to return to work as a nursing assistant. The stepdaughter of Texas Ebola victim Thomas Duncan, who called 911 and rode in the ambulance with the man she calls daddy, has been told she can return to work. Miss Jalla, whose contact with Mr. Duncan, who remains in a critical condition, was far more intimate and prolonged than that of her husband, told Mail Online on Monday, the CDC came yesterday. They said I can go back to work, but I do not know what I will do. I will not go back yet. Doctors say that no one is at risk of catching the virus unless they come into contact with a sufferer who is exhibiting symptoms, which, as we'll get onto in a moment, is apparently not the case. A New York Times article from 2000 suggests that even people who aren't exhibiting symptoms of Ebola can infect other individuals. And again, going back to this family, when they were holed up in the Dallas apartment as the CDC sent unprotected workers to clean up the vomit on the sidewalk, we showed you those pictures a couple of days ago, as they were holed up in there, given no advice by the CDC, and as the family told the media, they quarantined themselves. They were not even told initially by the CDC to remain in quarantine. Later you had armed men show up with guns who had to keep them in quarantine because basically they were given no information whatsoever. So now the CDC has told the stepdaughter of the Ebola victim that she can go back to work as a nursing assistant. The potential for her to infect other people is vast, working in that environment. In fact, we had the founder of Ebola just yesterday come out and give an interview to The Guardian, in which he said one of the main threats was Indian workers who are in West Africa at the moment traveling back to India, working in hospitals and infecting people that way. So the very discoverer of Ebola, of the Ebola virus back in the 70s, is warning against this, that you can't send people back to work in hospitals willy-nilly. There you see apocalyptic scenario. Discoverer of Ebola virus fears it could mutate, and he's saying that because it's infecting so many people now, even though it hasn't, to all our knowledge, gone airborne, that it could mutate and go airborne eventually. And he's saying that basically a lot of these workers, these hospital workers in West Africa, could go back to India and infect other people. But that doesn't seem to concern the CDC, who have told the stepdaughter of Patient Zero, and this is not out of The Onion, this is not a satirical article, this is being reported widely today, that she can go back to work immediately as a nursing assistant, even though she was in the ambulance with the Ebola victim. She was handling the vomit, the sweat, the bloodstained sheets of the Ebola victim. And bearing in mind that these symptoms can take up to 21 days to show, and yet the CDC has said that she can go back to work. She should be in quarantine for at least 3 weeks. They should be running numerous tests on her, because as we will see in a moment, a lot of these tests turn out to be false negatives. They can test for Ebola, and the initial test says that Ebola is not found. Later tests can confirm it. So we're going to get into that into a moment. But the CDC is suggesting that the stepdaughter of the Ebola victim can return to work, even though she could be infected with the virus and just not showing symptoms for the next 3 weeks. And this is key, because the New York Times reported back in 2000, some may carry Ebola without showing any symptoms. This is 14 years ago we knew about this. The Ebola virus, which has caused death from high fever and bleeding in African outbreaks, can also infect without producing illness. According to a new finding by African and European scientists, the possibility of asymptomatic infection was only suggested in earlier studies, they said in last week's issue of The Lancet. Now they said they had documented such infections for the first time. They found that the Ebola virus could persist in the blood of asymptomatic infected individuals for 2 weeks after they were first exposed to an infected individual. So everything we've been told so far by the CDC is that you can't infect anybody else unless you're already showing symptoms. That has been discounted in this study, which was published in The Lancet, a prestigious medical journal, 14 years ago. And yet this nurse is being sent back to work, having had direct contact with patient zero. There you see the article out of the New York Times. And then there's this, out of Newsweek. Why it's important to do multiple tests on suspected Ebola victims before releasing them. And it gets into the fact that people have been tested for Ebola and the results have come back with a false negative. They're tested again subsequently and they're found to have the Ebola virus. So all of these individuals that have been in contact with patient zero there in Dallas, we don't know how many have been tested. We can't really trust the CDC given that they've been so lax on dealing with that family alone. You know, the vomit-stained sidewalks were cleaned up with people without protection. It took almost a week for an actual properly trained, properly equipped hazmat crew to completely clean and disinfect and sterilize that apartment. And then we have false negatives. So people could be being tested for Ebola, it comes back negative, and yet they could still have the virus, and yet they're sending the nurse back to hospital where she could potentially infect hundreds or thousands of other people. The insanity absolutely knows no bounds. And then we've got the border situation again. No interdiction at the border whatsoever, even though, according to this report, government figures indicate that 112 individuals were interdicted illegally crossing into the United States from Guinea, 231 from Liberia, and another 145 from Sierra Leone, the three Ebola hotspots. The period of these apprehensions was one in which we had a larger border patrol presence on the actual border than we do now. So there were more Border Patrol agents in service back then when these figures were recorded. Now there are less, and this doesn't even include all the people who were not interdicted by Border Patrol agents. So God knows how many more hundreds of individuals from Liberia, from Sierra Leone, are crossing the US border, potentially having been exposed to Ebola. And again, we had the speculation that Patient Zero, Duncan, had engaged in what's now being called Ebola tourism because he told his boss that he was traveling to the United States to get treatment, having himself been infected with Ebola after taking one of his pregnant family members to hospital in Liberia. So this could really start a wave. We had an article a few days ago. There you see boss co-workers of US Ebola patient. He knew he had Ebola. US trip was desperate attempt to survive. So speculation that he boarded the plane simply to get to the US to get treatment because West Africa is, of course, completely overwhelmed. He would have likely died or suffered a really long illness without proper treatment. We're going to get more into that. We're going to play a clip with a Border Patrol agent who is trying to blow the whistle on Liberians crossing the border in their hundreds, potentially infected with the Ebola virus. We're also going to talk to Robert David Steele at the top of the next hour about the open source revolution, about Ebola. David Knight in studio, Anthony Gucciardi also. This is the Alex Jones Show live, Infowars.com. Stay tuned.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications Radio Network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Freeze-Dry Guy.
Thomas, talk about customer service at GCN.
GCN is extraordinary in how they take care of their customers. The bottom line, Freeze-Dry Guy keeps advertising on GCN because it works.
If you would like to experience unbelievable customer service, call Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
I'm watching and waiting for the right time to take everything you own. I love a dark house.
Don't be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone is inside watching TV and makes your home unappealing to would-be thieves.
Don't these people ever leave?
Starting at $24.95, and there's free shipping. Go to faketv.com or ask for it at your local hardware store. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Do you lay awake at night and worry about the health and safety of you and your loved ones? Do you wonder what would happen if you weren't able to get to a hospital or doctor? How can you keep your family safe against the deadly pathogens that are beginning to emerge in the world today? Give yourself peace of mind with Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver is turning heads around the world as a new weapon in the fight against bacteria, viruses, and fungus. Supernatural Silver can be taken internally or used topically to help the body's own immune system fight off disease much more effectively. Supernatural Silver has been tested at independent universities and laboratories around the world and has been proven to be safe and highly effective against some of the planet's deadliest pathogens. There is no better product to have in your home for daily use or emergency preparedness. Go to supernaturalsilver.com, use the code SILVER2014 for 20% off, and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
In the near future.
When you realize how fake it all is, the football, the basketball.
Alert. Security. Alert. This is Homeland Security. Analysis. InfoWars. Building independent media operations.
Let the worst people get controlled and tell us that we are the ones responsible.
Crime directed. Discredit Alex Jones.
Jones is the wildly popular conspiracy theorist.
It's a popular conspiracy theory talk show called InfoWars.
Alex Jones is now in an Austin jail.
These people are assault.
Targeting of patriots engaged.
They are never going to stop. They're never going to deviate from their program until we stop them.
Block free iPhone app at InfoWars.com. Block free podcast and video feed. Imperative. Destroy Planet TV.
You gotta set your eye on the enemy, not worry about what propaganda they put out. Intellectually, it's begun. You can feel it.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms. I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We'll be right back.
Joseph Watson, we got breaking news here. Connecticut governor declares state of emergency over Ebola as a precaution. So it seems that whereas the White House has dropped the ball on this, it's now being picked up by the states. Connecticut governor Daniel Malloy has declared a public health emergency for the state as a precaution during the Ebola epidemic that is affecting several countries in Western Africa. He signed an order declaring the emergency on Tuesday, and it gives the commissioner of the State Department of Public Health the authority to quarantine and isolate people whom the commissioner, quote, reasonably believes have been exposed to the Ebola virus. So that's a higher standard of proof than the CDC requires. Of course, we had the CDC measures reported back a couple of months ago where they said anybody with any respiratory illness could be quarantined, or indeed anybody who was a healthy person. They used the word well person that were coming in into the airports, that they could be quarantined by the CDC. Now the Connecticut governor is taking it one step further. There you see the executive order from Obama. Anybody with respiratory illnesses, this from the Connecticut governor, is a higher burden of proof. Reasonably believes has been exposed to the Ebola virus, is the quote. So now they're taking their own steps to try and deal with this Ebola threat, even as the administration and the CDC completely drops the ball. Here's a clip from a local news channel reporting on a Border Patrol agent, National Border Patrol Council Union, blowing the whistle on the threat of Ebola from individuals entering from Liberia and Sierra Leone. Let's go to the clip.
Recently, agents caught immigrants from Liberia, one of the West African countries hit the hardest by Ebola. Now the Border Patrol Union is saying if immigrants did bring the virus, it'd be hard to contain. The CDC issued a level 3 warning for U.S. citizens to avoid traveling to West African countries experiencing an outbreak of Ebola. But according to Chris Cabrera with the National Border Patrol Council, immigrants from those countries are already making their way here.
Not too long ago, we did catch some people, I believe, from Liberia.
During the 2013 fiscal year, statistics show Border Patrol agents apprehended 112 immigrants from Guinea, 231 from Liberia, and 145 immigrants from Sierra Leone, the three countries with the most cases of Ebola.
Our main concern, like it's always been, is the health and safety of our agents.
Cabrera worries that agents are not properly protected in case they come across an immigrant with the Ebola virus.
Our agents are trained, however, we're not medical professionals.
And if an immigrant with the disease does make it past agents, he worries they could pass the contagious disease to other immigrants while in a stash house, like they saw recently during a scabies outbreak.
Some of our agents did contract scabies and some of the other things that the illegal aliens had. Luckily, it's not something that's deadly like Ebola.
Customs and Border Protection confirms agents are trained to recognize signs of illnesses, including Ebola, and are told to contact the CDC immediately if they find someone they believe to be infected. But the union worries immigrants with the disease may slip by, because many times symptoms do not show up for 2 to 21 days.
We need to be more proactive in preventing from coming in as opposed to trying to contain it once it's already here.
And Customs and Border Protection tells me they continue to work with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention to develop procedures to identify travelers or immigrants that are bringing over contagious diseases. In Gran Heno, Nadia Galindo, Action 4 News.
So that's the situation on the border there. Hundreds of individuals from Liberia, from Sierra Leone, being caught there. And again, just think of all the ones who are not caught. And this was at a time when there were more Border Patrol agents there to interdict them. It's amazing the fact that they can't even recognize people who dress up as ISIS terrorists and carry out stage beheadings, as we had with our own Joe Biggs. Also, James O'Keefe going across the Canadian border in a speedboat. They fail to pick up that, and yet we're expected to trust them that they can detect people with signs of Ebola. We keep hearing this thing about how the authorities have proper training, and yet the hospital in Dallas, where patient zero arrived, they had gone through the Ebola training before he arrived, yet they sent him home with antibiotics, even though he told them he was from West Africa. And of course, that led to the situation now where his own stepdaughter is being sent to work as a nursing assistant, even though she was exposed to him. Complete dropping of the ball by the CDC, complete incompetence. Or is it more? We're going to get into that with Robert David Steele and at the next hour. Now coming up, David Knight with police.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
From the water table to our soils to the atmosphere itself, our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
We're back live in studio with David Knight. We're going to go to some of your calls later in the show. We've also got Robert David Steele, former CIA officer, coming up. And, of course, if you saw the video up on Infowars.com yesterday, he gave an interesting prediction last month. He said that an Ebola-staged false flag attack was coming. So we're going to drill down. We're going to ask him if what we're seeing now with the Ebola outbreak is what he characterized during his appearance on the Alex Jones Show last month. But there's an interesting article, given that we've considered, we've reported numerous times the threat that the Ebola virus could mutate and go airborne to at least a limited extent. Experts worry virus may spread more easily than assumed. This is out of the LA Times. Dr. C.J. Peters, who battled a 1989 outbreak of the virus among research monkeys housed in Virginia, and who later led the CDC's most far-reaching study of Ebola's transmissibility in humans, said he would not rule out the possibility that it spreads through the air in tight quarters. Quote, "We just don't have the data to exclude it," said Peters, who continues to research viral diseases at the University of Texas in Galveston. So, David, you wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, Paul, we're seeing two different types of responses. We're seeing a medical response and we're seeing a political response. And on the political side, it has been downright reckless. That's why we've run articles saying that they're standing down, that they're doing everything that they can to spread this. It goes way beyond just trying to keep people from panicking and not spreading fear. What they're doing is putting people recklessly at risk the way that they're portraying this. And I think the person that best represents this is the guy who really is at the center of what's happening in Dallas, and that's this Judge Jenkins up there. He also has, he's a district county judge. He's somebody that first kind of came to light back in the summer. He was trying to get thousands of children, as they were saying at the time, they had all these unaccompanied children, young children with teddy bears coming across the border by themselves, making the thousands of miles journey across the border. So he was going to house them, and he very notably went door to door intimidating people about not protesting this, saying that they weren't going to put up with any protests of people bringing that in. That got him a seat across the table when Obama came to Dallas, even though Rick Perry was seated at the far end of the table. An interesting picture that you can find of that where you can see the expression on Perry's face. But the bottom line is this guy is a rabid pro-illegal immigration advocate. He's up for election in a couple of weeks, and he's been telling people that there is no risk, and he's been the one who's been issuing the quarantine orders quite a bit late, but then also going into the apartment, making a big show of the fact that he's going in without any protective clothing, going to a press conference afterwards and saying, "I'm wearing the same shirt that I went in and hung out with them in the apartment, and then I transported them and their belongings in my personal car for 45 minutes, and I'm wearing the same shirt at this press conference that I wore with them. I'm not afraid of this. There is no risk," is what he said. That's his quote, "There is no risk." Well, the reality of it is that the materials in the apartment, just as they quarantined the ambulance because it might be contaminated, just as they tracked down that homeless man and under this judge's orders put him under quarantine, they tracked him down not once but twice. They brought him in once and they tested him. They didn't find any symptoms. He then subsequently left. They did another manhunt to bring him back and then put him under isolation. So we're seeing a very schizophrenic approach to this, but he goes out and tells people that there is no risk. Well, the reality is that you can come down with it. It's been reported by the New York Times. You can catch it from materials, and it is present for up to hours or sometimes days, depending on the material, depending on the condition, whether it's exposed to sunlight. He was so late in doing anything in the apartment that he may very well have not exposed himself to any risk. But what he is doing is modeling reckless behavior for the people in America that might come into contact with this. You know, the cemeteries in Liberia are filled with the bodies of people who never thought they could get Ebola. And so what he's doing is a big disservice to people. This virologist, Dr. Philip K. Russell, who was part of that experiment, I'm sorry, he was not one of the persons who was part of that experiment. He's with the U.S. Army's Medical Research Development. He says, "To be dogmatic is, I think, ill-advised because there are too many unknowns here." Now, there was another guy who was part of that experiment that you referred to where the monkeys got out of control. And basically, and his name is Charles Bailey. He supervised the response. And he said what he learned from the episode informs the suspicion that the current strain of Ebola that is afflicting humans might be spread through tiny liquid droplets propelled into the air by coughing or sneezing. In other words, by aerosols, which is exactly what they were doing the other day when they were pressure washing without any protective equipment the area where he had thrown up on the sidewalk, not cordoning it off from the public. Then the next day they send in a hazmat team to clean the apartment. That's the kind of inconsistency, the kind of nonsense that we're seeing, the difference between the medical response and the political response.
And, of course, we had the University of Illinois study, which I reported on a few days ago, which, again, they were talking about the potential aerial transmissibility of the Ebola virus. They were saying that it could transmit more than 3 feet, which is the current understanding with people coughing and sneezing. So
Yeah, we have that, and we have the Canadian study that you had talked about, and what this guy continues to say about these monkeys that were dying of Ebola. He said they were dying in a pattern that was certainly suggestive of coughing and sneezing, some sort of aerosol movement. They were dying and spreading it so quickly from cage to cage that we finally came to the conclusion the best action was to euthanize them all. That's the way they stopped it.
And, of course, I mean, we had the Public Health Agency of Canada. They admitted on their website, as of August, that was the last time it appeared on the website, that Ebola, they strongly suspected, I believe the exact words were, that Ebola had gone airborne in humans, at least to a limited extent. That was subsequently censored in light of the most recent spate of outbreaks in Western Africa. And they completely deleted that information from their website altogether. So, I mean, David, do you think this process of deleting information, which we've seen in a couple of other cases, in fact, the German virologist who went public and said that basically this wouldn't end until the population of Liberia was basically wiped out. He talked about 5 million dead. His quotes were later removed from that article when we highlighted them in an Infowars.com article. So, I mean, David, do you think this attempt to remove information is part of a deliberate cover-up, or is it just a botched attempt to prevent hysteria?
It is a deliberate cover-up, I believe. It goes beyond just trying to control hysteria. Look, he could control hysteria by telling people, educating people so that they would understand what their risks were. If he wants to go into the apartment and he wants to tell people, but I think it's safe because it's been so many days. But instead, he just says, there's nothing to worry about. There is zero risk. And they're like you pointed out, they're removing information. They're also pushing this narrative that we're going to somehow be saved by pharmaceuticals. If you look at the article that's up on USA Today, and I'm trying to find it here in my stack of articles. I've got so much information here. But basically what they were focusing on was the various times that people have been given experimental drugs. What they don't tell you is that Dr. Kent Brantley and the lady that was also working with him, who were both given ZMapp, who both recovered, I don't know about her, but he was definitely given a blood transfusion at the same time that he received that experimental drug. Two others were also given that experimental drug. One of them, and they both died in other countries, one of them was a Spanish priest, where now we see that Ebola has transferred to somebody for the first time outside of Africa. So not only did he die, but now there's one person. There was reports yesterday about a possible second person. I don't know if that's changed or not yet. But at least one person has contracted Ebola there, and that was from a patient who was treated with ZMapp and subsequently died. Now, there's another experimental drug that was used on another doctor that was different from that. He subsequently was cured, but he also received a blood transfusion. He was sent a blood transfusion from Dr. Kent Brantley, the fellow who recovered, because he had received that transfusion from a patient that he had treated in Liberia. He sent that to him. So that doctor also received a blood transfusion from someone who had recovered, who had antibodies in their plasma. And at the same time that he got the experimental drug, now he is back in the hospital. They were saying that it is not a recurrence of Ebola. They weren't saying exactly what it was, but today it was interesting. In this USA Today article, they said the FDA has blocked any further trials of that drug because it produces some severe flu-like symptoms. So it may be that it is secondary side effects of that drug, that maybe it did cure him of Ebola, but there are these secondary side effects. And then there's this new drug that they're using on Mr. Duncan in Dallas, the Liberian patient. And that is a drug that they have used in the past to treat viruses. And although it has killed it in vitro in a glass, there is absolutely no evidence that it has been responsive in treating it in people. And I don't know if they've done any animal testing or not. So that's really kind of a wild shot that they're just putting out there.
So, I mean, in 2009 with the swine flu, we saw this huge hysteria. There were reports of potentially troops on the streets in reaction to this hysteria which could occur. The difference then is they had the drug, the vaccine, lined up, and everybody took it, even though only elderly, sick, and young people were at risk of contracting swine flu. So for the large majority of the population, of the global population, that wasn't a threat. At the time, they played it up like it was doomsday, like it was the end of the world. With the Ebola crisis here, we've seen a slow burn. Do you think, David, that they're really going to ramp up the hysteria once they get a drug in place, whether it's effective or not?
I absolutely believe that's what they're waiting for. As a matter of fact, we covered last week in the nightly news, there was information that the Gates Foundation and several pharmaceutical companies were coming together to mass produce the ZMAP vaccine, the one that has basically had a 50% success rate so far. And you can't necessarily even say that it's that high because, as I pointed out, at least one of the patients who recovered, one of the two, had also received a blood transfusion. But they are ramping up to produce that massively. And, of course, that is something that is genetically, there's a lot of genetic modification, transgenetic modification going on with the process of that drug. At the moment, it is a plant-based genetic modification, but they're getting ready to move it to an animal-based genetic modification, which brings up all kinds of issues about rushing to market with something like this and creating a panic or forcing people to take this kind of vaccine. I'd point out that this drug that is being given to Mr. Duncan now in Dallas is also, I believe, genetically modified. The company that created it is called Chimerix. That might be close to what they're focused on. They're called a biopharmaceutical company, so not a really good sign there as to what's really involved there. But it has been effective at the adenovirus. Interesting that back in March, there was a young boy who was suffering from cancer. He had a marrow transfusion and got the adenovirus, and they could not get access to that under compassionate use. They had to create a social media campaign. They got 24,000, 29,000 signatures on Facebook and basically forced the company and the FDA to allow this young boy to have that. He subsequently recovered, but they knew that it was effective against the adenovirus. It had been tested for quite some time against that. This is a completely new experiment that they don't know about.
Now, this story, which I read this morning, again, it's not out of the Onion. It sounds like it could be. But they're actually sending the stepdaughter of patient zero, the Ebola victim in Dallas, back to work as a nursing assistant 7 days after they first detected this Ebola case. Of course, we know 21 days is the maximum up until when Ebola symptoms can be detected. They can remain dormant until then. We've also got reports that people can carry Ebola without showing symptoms and be able to infect other people. That was a New York Times article and indeed a scientific study which was published in The Lancet back in 2000. And yet the CDC has told this nursing assistant that she can go back and work in a hospital despite the fact that she was exposed to this Ebola victim. She handled the towels, the bed sheets, the vomit, the blood-stained material that this Ebola victim had been in contact with. She rode with him in the ambulance to the hospital. David Knight, I mean, another example of the CDC. It gets to a point where this doesn't even look like dropping the ball anymore. It looks like deliberate incompetence.
Absolutely. That's a very good case in point. If you look at the two families that were involved there were two households that were put under quarantine. Incidentally, neither of them, after they were put into quarantine, were given any food. Even though Judge Jenkins was talking about how compassionate he was, that was given by private agencies, by the Red Cross. And when the people brought it in, of course, they were not wearing protective clothing. Nevertheless, the two different households, one of them were the people who were directly living in that apartment that he was staying in. She got involved, this stepdaughter got involved, because she sent her children over there on a Friday night while he was very sick. And that, I believe, was the day before. That was the day that he went to the hospital the first time. When she found out that he was sick, she had her children taken back. But then she went on Sunday to take care of him. As you pointed out, there's a very detailed narrative from the New York Times talking about how she bought him a blanket, wrapped him in the blanket, took care of him. And she was the one who got the ambulance to come because he didn't want to go back to the hospital again. He had been there and they had just basically sent him away without doing anything. So he was reluctant to go back. When the ambulance drivers came in, she said, "Don't come in unless you put on gloves and a mask. He's been to Liberia and there may be viruses." She didn't use the term Ebola. So she was very much involved with his care. They didn't say that she rode in the ambulance with him, but she took the blanket that he had been sick in with her to the hospital and set it there in the emergency room with her where she was. Now, they have not ever taken really the position that she couldn't, that she was totally quarantined like her children. They continued to allow these children to go to school for another couple of days, then took them out, then put temperature monitors in the schools where these children had gone. Then they told this lady and her husband that they could go to the stores to get groceries, but the kids had to stay in the house. Then 7 days later, and that is the very minimum time I've seen anywhere, most of the places say you will not manifest symptoms until 8 to 10 days later, and as long as 21 days later. But the CDC tells her 7 days after exposure, go back and work as a healthcare worker. I mean, that is
very worst situation to be in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just mind-boggling what they have done. And yet they're making a hero out of, we're seeing articles in Time magazine and the Washington Post talking about how this judge is fighting fear and Ebola in Dallas and how courageous he is and how he's taking the lead in all of this. There was an interesting article I mentioned to you that I saw in Foreign Policy talking about the toxic politics of Ebola, and the subtitle said, in Guinea, the epidemic isn't just killing people, it's threatening to tear the country apart. In other words, it's not just that people are dying, we could lose our political power here, which is really all they care about. And that's why we're seeing the kinds of responses. It's to bolster the political people as well as to make money for the pharmaceutical companies. Once they get a drug, they're going to come on with a full panic. We've already seen a Connecticut governor sign a bill giving himself authorization to use emergency force whenever he feels like it.
We'll be back in the next segment with more Ebola news. We've also got Robert David Steele coming up. He, of course, made a very interesting prediction last month on the Alex Jones Show where he said that there would be an Ebola false flag, so we will question him on that. We've also got Anthony Gucciardi in studio coming up. It's the Alex Jones Show Live. It's InfoWars.
We all have our own idea about what being safe and secure means. The door's locked, bills are paid, you've got a job that keeps the lights on, and a home to call your own. But what happens when Mother Nature throws a curveball?
I'm calling you to take cover.
Are you prepared to live without electricity or passable roads for weeks at a time? Do you even have a plan B? If you do, are you willing to bet your life on it?
Children left with no homes.
And no one's coming to help them.
The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48 states. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today, or visit us at MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare.
You've heard about the essential qualities of iodine when it comes to your well-being, and you've read the opinions of top experts regarding this good member of the halogen family. Still, reports indicate that iodine is absent in sufficient amounts from the daily lives of countless people worldwide. Now, our extra-strength new nascent iodine formula is here, Survival Shield X2, leading the way into the next generation of super high quality nascent iodine. InfoWars Life Survival Shield X2 is derived from 200 plus million year old salt solutions found more than 7,000 feet below the Earth's surface. The result is a unique nascent iodine that is both concentrated and free of unwanted additives, genetically modified ingredients, and completely vegan. We even pre-screen our Survival Shield X2 iodine for radiation. Pure, clean, and sourced from deep within the Earth, X2 nascent iodine is available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, or call 1-888-253-3139.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
We'll be right back.
now.
We're back. It's Tuesday, October 7th. Alex Jones Show live. Still talking about the latest Ebola news with David Knight here in the studio. And just during the break, we were making the point that, you know, Obama has said that they're going to enforce these new measures. These customs protection agents at the airports are going to check people for signs of Ebola, probably a week too late in that case. Obviously, we know from the previous CNN report that they're not even doing that. They're not even asking basic questions. But don't worry, because the TSA is still going to grope your junk. They're still going to confiscate your alcohol, tobacco, and they're going to protect us from the deadly threat of snow globes. That's all safe. That's taken care of. If you've got Ebola, though, you can go right on through, no questions asked. Maybe they'll give you a questionnaire. But this is the insanity of the CDC and the federal government's response. Now we've got an article up on drudgereport.com, which is talking about how the troops are traveling there. American troops in Liberia will come in direct contact with infected. And of course, we've had hundreds of health workers in West Africa die as a result of being infected by Ebola victims, despite the fact that they obviously would be expected to take the utmost precautions. Hundreds of health workers have died. Now thousands of American troops are going to be sent into harm's way to have direct contact with Ebola patients. David Knight.
Paul, you mentioned you asked me in the last section, is this deliberate or is it just incompetence? When you look at this policy of sending thousands of American troops into that area to have direct contact with people, the military has said they're not equipped to deal with this. That's not their mission to go do that. So that is not just stupidity and that's incompetence. That is deliberate exposure to people. And so that alone will tell you what's behind all this. But I think it's interesting you mentioned that the news media is reporting that Obama's going to step up his game in terms of screening at the airport. The way the New York Times headlines that, they say Ebola screening at airports will increase, says Obama. They're not doing it at all. We just had that report you played in the first hour from the lady from CNN, where she comes back and she says, we were in Liberia. We were covering Ebola. And they go, oh, wait, I think I heard something about that. Yeah, watch yourself. Well, what's there to watch for? I don't know. I have no idea. And they don't check the other people that are traveling with her, even though they're also saying that. She was appalled and amazed, just like Chris Matthews was appalled and amazed that Ebola even came here after he had assurances from Obama that it wouldn't happen. So that's the kind of thing that we're being fed by the media as well as by Obama. But it is a deliberate policy of exposure to spread this along. I've also seen, and I think this is tied to the deployment of the troops, I saw an article in Stars and Stripes, and it was an op-ed piece written by someone who was a consultant for the CFR, a fellow, rather, at the CFR. And she was saying that it's great that we have Obamacare because that's going to take care of Ebola, because now anybody that's sick doesn't have any reluctance to go get health care. And it's like, really? The combination of Obamacare and Ebola crossing our borders, whether it's at the airports or whether it's coming through the southern border, the combination of those two can destroy us not only financially, but destroy millions of people. It has that potential. So it isn't that we somehow have a magical elixir, Obamacare. We have a finite capacity, both in terms of beds, as we pointed out last week. I think, what was it, 19 beds in the United States that are isolation units, only one in the UK. Even in Western companies, we have finite resources. We can't treat everybody in the world. But Obamacare pretends that we do, and so does the military now.
We also got the training in the hospitals. They're saying they're completely unprepared for it. U.S. nurses are protesting about that. We'll get into it after the break. More with David Knight. Robert David Steele coming up next hour. It's Infowars.com. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Another major health threat, this one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.